We are in our second week of a series on the book of Ruth, and I want to set up our scene a little bit before we get into our readings. We're in the second chapter today. Chapter one was about all kinds of upheaval that was happening in Ruth and Naomi, our two kind of main characters, upheaval happening in their life, and all kinds of social and political and cultural boundaries that were being crossed out of love for another. Naomi and Ruth are both widows. Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law, and Ruth is a Moabite, as the text will make plainly clear at times. Oftentimes they overemphasize that she was a Moabite from Moab, is one of the ways they describe it, right? And Israel did not have a good relationship with people from Moab at that time. So Ruth was a foreigner, she was a widow, she was a woman with no connection or proximity to a man, which is in this day, in the day of Ruth, which is to say she was a woman in great peril in that society. And so at the end of chapter 1, Ruth and Naomi return to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. A barley was the first of the crops to be harvested, so the beginning of the barley harvest is a time of great possibility, a time of abundance, and it's into that context that we continue our story from Ruth chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, who was Naomi's husband, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain behind someone in whose sight I may find favor." So Naomi said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." They answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "To whom does this young woman belong?" The young man who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She was the Moabite from Moab, sort of double emphasis on her foreignness, right? She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers." So she came and has been on her feet from early this morning until now without resting even for a moment. Now, one of the things to note about this scene here is that this act of landowners leaving some of their field open for gleaning is something that was commanded by Scripture. Gleaning is basically coming alongside and picking up the leftovers of the field, right? When people would come by and would harvest the barley, there would be leftovers that would be left in the field. And rather than going back to pick up all of the leftovers, Scripture commands them to leave those leftovers in the field. In Leviticus 19, it's commanded as a way of caring for the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner. In many ways, Ruth is all three of these. And so Ruth goes out to glean what she can gather for Naomi as a way of caring for Naomi. Boaz finds out from the person in charge of the reapers that she's the young Moabite from Moab. And rather than forbidding her because of her foreignness, Boaz responds to her in a deeply faithful way. And he embodies this faithfulness and steadfastness. If we remember from last week, the Hebrew word for this is hesed. And it's something that will continue to come up time and again, this kind of steadfast love, faithfulness, kindness. And we see this trait in abundance in Boaz. We continue on. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. And she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner? But Boaz answered her, All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. How you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. And she said, May I continue to find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants. First thing Boaz says to Ruth is, Now listen, my daughter. This foreign woman from a foreign place who has come to Bethlehem with the clothes on her back and not much else, with no protection from proximity to a father or a husband or a brother, the first word that she hears is a proclamation of belonging and safety and provision. Listen, my daughter, is what Boaz says to her. Boaz wraps these words of belonging and assures her that she will be protected. Not only does Boaz bring Ruth into the community of women, but also orders the young men not to bother her, which is not an insignificant detail that the writer tells. Boaz uses the power and authority he has by providing safety and belonging for Ruth, the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner. Not only is Boaz aware of the need for community, and he provides a way for that to happen for Ruth, but he's also aware of the threat that men are to women in her position in this time. And so he takes that invitation to belonging, takes that protection a step further in using his power and privilege to rebuke the men to leave her alone. When I was growing up, I grew up in the ELCA, in the Lutheran church, but in the youth group time, it was very influenced by a kind of evangelical moral majority subculture. In the 1990s, when I was growing up, there was this strong current of a strict and rigid gender roles. And whenever we talk about relationships within the context of faith, there was a phrase that would implore young women to wait for their Boaz. Wait for their knight in shining armor to come and protect them and shield them from all that may harm them. To rescue them, to sweep them up on their horse and ride off into the sunset to live happily ever after. The more I read Ruth, and the more I look around at our world, wait for your Boaz is not the advice we need. I think be a Boaz seems to be far more helpful. Right? Boaz is strongly connected to God through faith, rooted in his deep sense of God's steadfast love and kindness. He greets everyone with blessing and hospitality, and out of his faith flows a responsibility to tend and care for those in need in meaningful and substantive ways. And as we'll soon see, with an abundance. So I wonder what that would look like in our lives. Right? We've just been through an election in our country. And I don't know about you, but there's this deep feeling of, now that we have been through it, what do we do now? And I don't think our marching orders now are actually that different from before. love God, to love our neighbor, to care for those who are in need. And I actually think Boaz is a great model for this. I wonder what are the privileges or places of power or authority that you have in your life. I wonder what are the privileges and power and authority that we have as a community. And I wonder who are the people in our community, who are the people across our country or around the world who are vulnerable and at risk of being threatened with violence and exploitation, who are a lot like Ruth in this story. And I wonder what are some ways that God might be calling us and empowering us not to wait for Boaz, not to wait for someone to come in with steadfast love and kindness rooted in faith. But I wonder what ways God might be calling us to be a kind of Boaz figure, to find those intersections where the privilege or power that we have meets the needs of those who are vulnerable and respond to their needs in loving and kind ways. It's the call as old as time to love God and to love our neighbor. This is the core question at the book of Ruth. What does that mean? What does that look like? When it's lived out, what does the loving kindness and faithfulness of God look like when it is lived out in community? And we see this as we go on with our story. We pick up at verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he heaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, "Let her glean even among the standing sheaves, and do not reproach her. You also must go and pull out some handfuls for her from the bundles, and leave them for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." Boaz and Ruth share a kind of communion together, bread and wine at the table. She eats until she is satisfied and has some left over, which finds its echo in the feeding miracles of Jesus. Eats until she's filled and has some left over. When she gets up to glean some more, Boaz tells his young men to let her take from the bundles that they have gathered and reminds them again not bother her. We hear, starting from verse 17, "So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. In modern day measurements, it's about between 15 and 20 pounds of barley. She picked it up and came into town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gleaned. And she took out and gave her what was left over, and after she herself had been satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where did you glean today? Where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you.' She told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, saying, 'The name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz.' Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be he by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead.' Naomi also said to her, 'The man is a relative of ours, one of our nearest kin.' Then Ruth the Moabite," she's still a Moabite, we want to make sure we remember that. "Then Ruth the Moabite said, 'He even said to me, stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.' Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is better, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, otherwise someone might bother you in another field.' So she stayed close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love this section of Ruth so much. Because because in the narrative that I talked about earlier, where Ruth is this damsel in distress waiting for her Boaz, when you actually read the Bible, Ruth is not your typical damsel in distress, right? What do we know about her first day in Bethlehem, her first day going out and gleaning in the field? In verse 7, we hear she's been on her feet from early this morning until now without even resting for a moment. She does the difficult work of gleaning, the repetitive bending at the waist to gather what is left on the ground from early in the morning until evening. Then she beats out what she has gleaned. And threshing barley and wheat by hand is no easy task, especially after a dawn till dusk day out in the field. Then on top of all this, after all it's done, she heaves 15 to 20 pounds on her back and walks back to Bethlehem to provide for Naomi. Ruth is not a damsel in distress. Ruth is an incredibly strong, gritty, gutsy woman who does what she needs to do so that she and Naomi can not just survive, but can live. My prayer is that we would hold steadfast to this story, that we would hold steadfast to the story of someone who uses their power to shine the light of God's faithfulness and hospitality and in care for others. Not just today, but in the weeks and months and years ahead. And for that, we can say thanks be to God. Amen.